Welcome to My Awesome Empire. This week, we introduce you to one very special Inland Empire family, the Amentos. Sarah is a Cala Mesa mother of five fighting triple-negative breast cancer. She's on chemotherapy, and despite the exhaustion, she started her own nonprofit. She's been a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and she's begun writing for the Huffington Post. Sarah joins us later in the show, but she isn't the only inspirational member of this family. Her brother-in-law runs the Redlands outlet of one of the Inland Empire's most popular businesses, Augie's Coffee. In Redlands, it's a spot where a whole community comes together for coffee, for comfort, and for causes. Earlier this week, Cal State San Bernardino communication student Amanda Fernandez sat down with Austin Amento and asked what inspired his family to open coffee shops.
Really, it's my dad wanted to kind of diversify. He's an electrical contractor by trade. And with the kind of turn from the economy, he was looking at other cash businesses that we could kind of run as a family. So we walked around to really kind of a bunch of liquor stores and then kind of came across a coffee shop. And it was already Augie's. It was existing for about a year prior. And we just saw it as something we could put our name on and, like, really run as a family business.
While there are hundreds of coffee shops in the Inland Empire, this one is considered very special by folks in Redlands. Why is that?
I think it's really the community we've created, the staff we have here, and, of course, the coffee we serve. Just kind of making sure we have all those in line really creates a special experience for our customers.
Your website suggests that community is as important as your coffee. Why is that, Austin?
Well, the whole purpose of a coffee shop is to serve the community and the customer. So I really think that if we don't have a community, it doesn't matter if we're brewing really great coffee. We want to ensure you have a great place to get a cup of coffee, meet up with different friends. You know, we have customers from all different walks of life, so it's important for us to just make sure that the community is really strong.
Now, how is Augie's different business-wise?
Well, we really ensure we roast our coffee, so that right there is different from a lot of other coffee shops. That means we're getting green coffee from all over the world and roasting it here in downtown Redlands. We're making sure every coffee is made to order, you know, made once you order it, and I think that is a big difference of, you know.
Is there a specific type of coffee you guys specialize in?
Not specifically. So we really work on getting coffee from different farmers from all over the world. And we're just looking for a special quality in the product and the raw ingredient that the farmer's taking care of. And then when we get it here, we just try not to mess it up that much and then serve it to all of our customers.
If you're getting coffee from farmers all over the world, how do you decide which farmers to work with?
Yeah, so we go through a very extensive sampling process where we'll get, you know, 20 to 50 samples a week, try different co-ops, farmers, you know, plantations, every different way, you know, possible. We'll get these different samples in. We'll roast them, then we'll cup them, and that's like a very the standard way for tasting coffees, like a bunch of them at the same time. So it's essentially just a little bowl with grounds, water, and then you allow them to steep, and you're just kind of slurping off the top of that, and that's our way of kind of ensuring we're choosing the coffees we want, and the coffees we want tend to be the ones that are going to have the most unique profiles and flavor, be the sweetest coffees. So something that jumps out, and you drink it, and you'll love it.
So, Austin, how did you get to become such a coffee connoisseur?
Yeah, actually, I never really drank coffee too much before Augie's, so I kind of fell in love with it and just the culture and community behind it, and really just by drinking the product, trying what we were doing and trying it differently and comparing results. So a lot of trial and error, but it's, you know, very good trial and error.
Pretty much by immersing yourself in it.
Yeah, exactly. Really just diving in, reading every online blog, article you can find, and drinking as much as humanly possible. But it's fun.
If you just joined us, you're listening to My Awesome Empire. I'm Amanda Fernandez, and we're speaking with Austin, one of the owners of Augie's Coffee in Redlands. One of the great local businesses in Redlands, it has been a local favorite since it opened in 2009. One review on Yelp even described Augie's as synonymous with hipsters. What's that all about, Austin?
Good question. I don't know. I think it's kind of the vibe we've created here, but to be honest, not too sure. It's just we know how to work with wood and metal, so that made it easy for us. But, you know, I think coffee shops a lot of times kind of get that vibe, but, you know, hopefully no one feels not welcome.
Can you describe for us some of the clientele here at Augie's?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you kind of look around, you could kind of see for yourself. But, you know, you've got different students, professors, people who own their own businesses, people who work next door, all of downtown, really kind of all walks of life all throughout the day. You know, we try to kind of attract everyone we can. But I kind of think it's a nice mix of everyone in Redlands.
What is the most difficult part of running a business like this?
You know, just really making sure we have a great staff, and which we've been lucky to have from pretty much day one, and ensuring we're getting the highest quality coffee possible. You know, like I said, we're always trying to sample different coffees and ensure we're serving what we want to be serving.
This business has grown since your family opened this spot in Redlands, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, we've been lucky enough to grow since 2009. What, just about 14 months ago, we opened up our second location in Riverside, down by the courthouse. And then about 6 weeks ago, we opened up in Claremont. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of see it grow and be able to make coffee and create new communities kind of in different cities.
So, Austin, you mentioned earlier that community is very important to everybody here. In what ways has Augie's plugged into the community outside of just serving them coffee?
I think we really like to get involved in you know, all the different charities and nonprofit kind of within town, whether it's the orchestra, the different events they do at the Redlands Bowl, or the different universities and high schools around here, just trying to make sure that anytime they need donations for specific events, we're willing to help out with them. We've been lucky enough to kind of work with creating our own special coffee blends once or twice a year for a cause, whether it's cystic fibrosis or you know, Sarah Mento, my sister-in-law, and trying to raise money for her with her cancer and to support her family and kids. Just trying to get involved in anything we really, you know, feel like we should be a part of.
And how have these community groups embraced Augie's?
You know, I feel like really just getting kind of our name out there and being proud that we're, you know, working together has really allowed us to, you know, attract different clientele into our shop and, you know, get the word of mouth out there that, you know, we're here doing what we do, which is, you know, brewing coffee, but with a community aspect to it. So I think that's really important for kind of everyone to understand and see that, you know, you might not notice on your first time coming in and getting a cup of coffee.
What would you say is the best part of running the hippest local coffee shop and gathering spot?
Well, besides drinking as much coffee as I want, I'd have to say it's the people we've met. You know, my best man at my wedding was our general manager, Rob, who I met here at the coffee shop. I actually met my wife here, you know, at the coffee shop, and we got married 3.5 years later after meeting here at the coffee shop. So just being able to kind of have a space where, you know, we're so involved with everyone, but equally they're involved with us in every way possible. It's unlike anything else.
You're listening to My Awesome Empire. Coming up, Austin's incredible sister-in-law, who is fighting a particularly dangerous form of breast cancer, but still finds the strength to write for the Huffington Post, to console other cancer patients across the country, to appear on The Ellen Show, and to be a mom. Sarah Amento and her 8-year-old daughter, Isabella, join us next. Welcome back to My Awesome Empire. Sarah Amento of Calamasa has had a busy year and a half. In 2013, this mother of five was diagnosed with what has become triple negative advanced stage breast cancer. Such diagnoses often pushes women to get up and fight, but Sarah Amento's story is even bigger than that. While enduring chemotherapy, she's become a telephone and Facebook friend to women all over the country going through the same thing. She's begun a blog on the Huffington Post, participated in countless fundraisers, started her own nonprofit organization, traveled to Europe for treatments, been a guest on a local rock station, and on The Ellen Show.
Sarah Amento. Sarah, come on down.
Sarah Amento has been busy, but she insists her most important projects, without question, are her five children. Cal State San Bernardino communications student Arnold Robles sat down with Sarah this week and asked when the battle of her life first began.
It started in July of 2013.
And what was life like before all this?
I have five children, so my identity primarily was my children prior to cancer.
So how do you tell your family about something like this?
We have a wide range of kids. We decided early on we wanted to age appropriately, be as honest as we could. So it wasn't a secret. I came home and I said, this is what we're facing, and the children have completely embraced this battle with us.
How did they take it?
The first time they took it well. It was, at that time I was diagnosed with stage 2, between 2-3, triple negative breast cancer. So it was all new to us. We didn't know how scary the diagnosis really was, because the media portrays breast cancer as knee-high socks and cute tatas and, you know, walks. And we just kind of, we knew it was serious, but we also believed that it was 100% beatable, caught at an early stage.
But Sarah, you didn't let anything keep you from fighting. Why?
The best answer would be my children. And I don't know that it's necessarily my nature to, when challenged, to back off. But I have five beautiful reasons to live and multitudes more behind them that are diagnosed every day and told that this disease possibly could take their life. My idea was that if I could embrace this disease, this journey, and fight with all I can, women behind me that is watching my fight, if they're diagnosed, they'll know too that I can beat this disease.
If you just joined us, you're listening to My Awesome Empire. I'm Arnold Robles, and we're speaking with Sarah Amento of Yucaipa. Stricken with a particularly dangerous form of breast cancer, Sarah hasn't let it stop her yet. While still focusing on her five children, Sarah has inspired millions with her appearance on The Ellen Show, with her Sarah Amento Day Breast Cancer fundraiser, and now by starting her own nonprofit organization. So tell us about being on The Ellen Show. How did that come about?
How cool is that, The Ellen Show? She was a saving grace during our diagnosis. We would all come together at 4 o'clock and watch her show. It was just a moment where I didn't have cancer. We're just laughing. We're crying with all the inspirational stories. And, I mean, everyone loves Ellen. So I decided to write into the show and just tell her how much I loved her and what a source of inspiration she had been for us, and a comic break during this storm. And from there, they said, why don't you come out and watch a show? And we had no idea that I was actually going to be on the show. So they decided to treat the kids and let them tour the building, and then surprised us with the 12 days of giveaway.
Tell me about that.
It was an amazing experience getting to meet all of her team, her staff. The children had a blast. And going to the show, it was just a surreal moment just to get to be able to sit in the audience. At the moment she started reading the email that I had written in, I started getting real nervous. And when she called me down, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready to go hug Ellen DeGeneres. It was an awesome, awesome lifetime experience that for me, I mean, how cool is it to meet Ellen DeGeneres? For the children, it's a lifetime of memory that we have forever. It was awesome.
You just said, how cool is it to meet Ellen DeGeneres? So, how cool is it?
About the coolest you can get. It's amazing. Ellen she's changing our world. It's inspiring how a comedian can come out and inspire millions. And I'm not talking to just inspiration of the entertainment that she has on her show. She's inspiring life change. She's inspiring people to love and accept one another. And she is making such a beautiful impact on our world that it's just about as cool as you can get. Ellen is making our world better. It's just not just a 4 to 5. She's inspiring people to love one another. And that love has been the message of our entire walk, our entire journey with breast cancer. And without love, we would be lost. So it was phenomenally cool. It was about the most awesome experience other than my beautiful children that we have gotten to have, and the multitudes of love, you know, that have surrounded it all.
Now, for those who aren't aware of it, describe what Sarah Mento Day was like, having two whole cities and thousands of people come out to raise awareness for your cause.
I knew nothing about it. I was kept in the dark. I knew that something was happening, but I'm a little bit of a control freak, so no one would tell me what was happening. This was to get me out of the country to Austria to try to... I was told when I was re-diagnosed with stage 4, I was told that there's no hope. Typically, in my situation, I might have a year, but with as aggressive as my disease was, they didn't anticipate a year. So I knew at that moment, once the doctor said, we can't save you, I had to advocate to save myself. So I began doing research, and the best option at the time was in Austria. And for a family of 5, my husband wasn't working because he had to take care of the kids while I was battling this disease. We had to raise a large amount of money. We were looking at anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000 just to go to Austria to fight this disease. I had decided with the mentality, the doctors told me that you're gonna die. I wasn't gonna take that precious time away from my family if that was true. I needed those 2 months with them. I wasn't gonna leave them. So we had to go with the kids. That's a large money. That's a large chunk of money. Under any circumstances for our family, that would be unattainable. So as they were planning this day, finally someone said, because I was driving them all crazy, like, what's going on? And they said, we're going to do lemonade stands. And I was like, do you know how much money we're looking at? Lemonade stands. So the Day of Hope was literally nothing but lemonade stands from the beginning of Yucaipa to the very top of Yucaipa. There was lemonade stands strategically set apart in Yucaipa.
And how much money did everyone raise?
I believe it was over $30,000 just from that day.
Wow. How have you been feeling?
I feel good. I feel blessed. I feel better than I should feel. I'm strong. There's down days, but for the most part, I'm doing awesome.
You know what we haven't asked you about? Tell us about your husband.
It's amazing when you never know how you're going to deal with something or how the other person's going to deal with something. And he is the strongest man I've ever met. He takes everything with stride, and he supports me 100%. And he went from being a full-time provider to a full-time dad, and he has not only stepped up to the challenges that have faced him, he's overcame them, and he's my rock. I could not do this without him.
What has been the hardest part of all of this for you?
The hardest part, I would say that's twofold. The first would be for the children, but there's also beauty in the situation. So I don't want to completely say just for the kids, because even though we face fears of them losing me, they also see miracles every single day. And they know that there's people out there who love and cherish them. It's also been a beautiful journey. I would say the hardest part about battling cancer is there's women diagnosed every day with breast cancer, particularly at this point in my journey. I'm at the stage 4, and they're told that they're going to die. It is time for us to change that mentality. A lot of times a woman hears, "You're stage 4, you're going to die." And they accept that. It's time for the way that we battle cancer to change.
So what has been the hardest part of all of this for you?
The hardest part has been every time I hear a story about a woman who is told that she now has stage 4 cancer and that she's going to die. And that woman accepts that diagnosis. I feel like if we start learning to fight this disease better, if we stop letting the FDA and the doctors and the big pharmas think for us, I believe that the way that we fight this disease will get better and the statistics will start changing. I believe it takes a handful of women who are told, "You are going to die," that won't accept it, fights for a better way, to pave a road for all the other women who are dying just because they were told there is no hope. The hardest part about this disease is the women who are told that there's no hope and they believe that.
Having said that, you've started your own organization that's trying to help people get the information that they need, haven't you?
Yes, we have started Battle Buddies. Without myself having Battle Buddies, others who have came alongside me, I believe that this journey has been an army of love, both just encouragement, and a lot of times this disease makes you withdraw and isolate and you feel alone. I decided early on, as soon as I started feeling that way, that I was not going to allow this disease to make me someone I wasn't. And so because of the love of others, because of my battle buddies, I've been able to fight this disease better, stronger, and on those days when I don't know if I can do it anymore, I have my battle buddies standing next to me. Not only people fighting this disease, but people not fighting this disease, saying, "You know what? You might not be able today, but we will for you." I have an army behind me, and I want every woman, every man, every child who is coming against cancer to have an army like I have had, so that they too will know that they can fight this disease. So the Battle Buddies is emotional support, hopefully financial support, as well as advocating for one another. There's a better way to fight this disease than what we have on the table right now. And I believe if we all join together, we will have better outcomes. And that's what Battle Buddies is about. Just recently, I met a young woman. She's just turned 25 years old. She has 2 children, and she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It's not even a breast cancer. The doctors told her, "There is no hope, you're going to die." So she's done nothing to fight this disease. And it took coming next to her and saying, "You don't have to listen." The fact is, I don't know what the end of this journey is going to hold. But I know if it's not me being here, I would rather die any day with hope than die hopeless. And I want every person that is facing this disease to have that same hope.
Sarah, what is the greatest lesson that all of this has taught you?
Love. This journey has been everything love. My inspirations in life hasn't changed just because I have cancer. I still loved everyone prior to cancer, but I see a hurting world, and I know how much love can make a difference. And I believe if we put our foot forward in love in everything, our world would become a better place.
If you'd like more information about Sarah's group, Battle Buddies, go to the Facebook page, Battle Buddies Cancer Foundation. You're listening to My Awesome Empire. Coming up, 8-year-old Isabella Amento tells us why moms are so awesome. Stay with us. Welcome back to My Awesome Empire. As we close our program today, we present one of the Amento kids, 8-year-old Isabella, who tells us what's so awesome about moms.
My name is Isabella, and I'm 8 years old. I live in Cala Mesa. I have an awesome mom. You know what's cool about moms? Moms take you really fun places. My mom took me to the Ellen Show, and it was funny. My mom took me to Tepia House once. That was super fun. My mom helps me with my homework, too. I'm super smart already. Sometimes I need a tiny bit more help from mom. Thanks for all the help, Mom. I love you.
Thanks, Isabella. And thank you for joining us today for another My Awesome Empire. Produced entirely by students at Cal State San Bernardino. Guests are always inspired by suggestions from our awesome listeners. Do you know of an unusual business, a great student or senior citizen, a doctor or babysitter? We'd love to hear about it. Write to us, myawesomeempire@csusb.edu. Thanks to student producer co-hosts Amanda Fernandez and Arnold Robles, to engineers Rocky Giles, Alasia Gowai, and the chief production engineer, Arnold Robles. My Awesome Empire is a production of the College of Arts and Letters at California State University, San Bernardino. Until next time, I'm Lacey Kendall. Have an awesome week.